Good morning. Welcome, welcome. I'm glad to get together and let's worship the Lord this morning. Good thing to do on a Sunday, isn't it? Thank you for making that choice to be with the Lord's people this morning. Special welcome to guests that have come our way. We appreciate you being with us this morning. Open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2, the passage that Brandon read to us earlier this morning. Philippians chapter 2, we'll be taking a look at verse 1 through 11 in the sermon in just a moment. I do want to make an update to the announcements that are in the bulletin. Nick Dees is now home from the hospital, but he's still not doing real well. Keep him in prayer, and Yvonne is home with him and serving him today. And we briefly mentioned the Leadership Training for Christ Awards. You need to see those before you leave. Our preteens and teens have been busy in this program. The ceremonies and the convention was last weekend. And there's a cubby full of awards back there and projects they've been working on. You will enjoy seeing those after services. Are they in the fellowship hall or the foyer? Do we know? Fellowship hall now. Okay. So you got to stay for the potluck. I'm twisting your arm. Did you notice that? You've got to stay for the potlucks in order to see that LCC display. There you go. There you go. This morning, I draw your attention to a lesson I've chosen from Philippians chapter 2. I've titled it, Are You Out of Your Mind? And if you just say to me, Mark, are you out of your mind? You're saying, I'm crazy. I've lost it. My marbles are on the floor. I'm not playing with a full deck. You choose the metaphor of your choosing. Essentially, that's what Governor Festus told Paul in Acts 26. Paul, you're out of your mind. Your great learning has made you mad. Paul, you're out of your mind. Paul was not insane. Paul was not insane. He was not crazy. Paul was consumed by the mind of Christ. This morning we're going to talk about beginning to accept the mind of Christ in our lives and hearts and how that changes us in a very positive direction. But sometimes people begin to think that we are a little out of our mind as Christians. Have you noticed that? We don't do everything that the world does. We don't make the same choices the world takes. We make a different path, and we do that on purpose. And that purpose is we have the mind of Christ. Now, we do not have the mind of Christ perfectly. We're still on a journey. We're still beginning to acquire the mind of Christ. None of us have it perfectly on board, okay? But we're in the journey of acquiring the mind of Christ. And that's what Paul is sharing with us from Philippians chapter 2. We've been studying the book of Philippians on and off this spring, depending on what lessons were needed in certain days. We've been studying a series of lessons under the title, The Good Life. In the book of Philippians, Paul is sharing with us, what is the good life? It's in Christ. And what does that good life look like? We've noticed, for example, the good life means expressing gratitude and holding on to hope. We noticed that the good life is learning to make some lemonade out of life's lemons, because life gives us lemons sometimes, doesn't it? This morning we acquire the good life by acquiring the mind of Christ, beginning to think like Jesus, beginning to have the worldview of Jesus in our minds. That's the passage that Brandon shared with us this morning, Philippians chapter 2. So to begin a Christian is to begin adopting the mind of Christ. So yes, as Christians, we in a sense are a little bit out of our minds because we're in the mind of Christ and not just our own mind. Christ is giving us a new worldview. He is in process of giving us that new mind, a new way of thinking, and therefore a new way of acting. And none of us have fully grasped it yet. We're all still on that journey. Yet as we mature in Christ, we take more and more of Christ's mind and less of the ways of the flesh alone. And the reason is we're out of the mind, our mind, is because we're adopting the mind of Christ. You see, when we repent and are baptized, we decide to adopt the mind of Christ. Begin living by Christ's rules, by Christ's example, by His Spirit. We take on less of self and more of thee, as the old song we used to sing says. But just being born of water and the Spirit doesn't mean suddenly I come up out of the waters of baptism and I'm this perfect little angel. I only wish that was true. What it does mean is I am cleansed of the guilt of my past sins, and I begin to acquire more and more of the mind of Christ as I mature in Him. So to be a Christian is not to say I'm perfect. Far from it. To be a Christian means I am still struggling with my own flesh, my own mind, my own will, but I'm in the process of allowing myself to be affected by the mind of Christ and take on more and more of His way of thinking. Brothers and sisters, success for the Christian is staying in the battle. Sometimes we think, well, when's the day going to become when I'm not going to have any spiritual struggles anymore? And I have an answer for that question. When you're dead. Until then, you're going to have spiritual struggles. Welcome to the human race. But the more you mature in Christ, those struggles change and those struggles diminish. The power of sin begins to diminish in your life. This doesn't mean that you're going to become sinless, but it does mean that you will sin less. And you hear the difference. Adopting the mind of Christ makes for healthy relationships. I call your attention to the first two verses. If you have an encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. The mind of Christ builds into us healthier relationships. Now, I have a way that I think we ought to do things. And you have a way that you think we ought to do things. And have you noticed those two ways don't often meet? And that causes conflict, as in our little screen example up here. We do have conflict in life, don't we? Even Christians have conflict in life. But here's the difference. As Christians, we're not just saying it's my way against your way and butting heads. In Christ, what we're going to seek is not my will, but Christ's will. And particularly if that other person is a believer in Christ as well, if we're both seeking the mind of Christ, guess what happens? We naturally come closer and closer together. Does that mean there's no conflict among Christians? No. But it does mean there's less conflict among Christians. Now, the world's way of handling conflict is say, well, you meet in the middle. 50-50. Have you heard that one? Here's the problem. When I think I'm giving up 50%, the other person thinks I'm giving up 20%. And I need to give up more. And more. And after a while, my hair begins to stand up on the back of my neck, and I say, no more. That's the worldly approach. Now, compromise is not a bad thing. Sometimes we do compromise. But that's not what it means to have the Spirit of Christ. To have the Spirit of Christ means those we're in conflict with, we're both seeking God's will in our life. And as we both seek God's will in our life, the triangle comes together because we come closer and closer to that will in Christ. That's what it means to adopt the mind of Christ and have healthier relationships. When we both seek Christ's will in our life, it's amazing how much better things get in our relationships. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. This is where the rubber meets the road. Having the mind of Christ means it's not all about me. It's also about the we. It's not just what I want and getting my way. It's about working as a unit, working together. To be spiritual really means to be well connected. Connected to God and connected to other people. When Jesus talked about the two most important commandments from the Old Testament, what were they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? Number one, and that's number two. Love your neighbor as yourself, the horizontal and the vertical. Love God first, the vertical. Love each other, the horizontal. The mind of Christ is to say it's not all about me, it's about the we. So do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I want it my way. Here's the problem. Most of us like Burger King too much. We want it our way. And I'm not just talking about the hamburgers. I'm talking about our lives. We want it our way. Paul says the way to get the mind of Christ into your life is to remember it's not all about me. It's not that we don't consider our own desires and our own interests and our own needs. That's not what this is saying. We all have to consider our own needs, but we cannot just consider our own needs. Do you see the difference? Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. The Christ-minded person looks beyond himself to others in his community. And the verses that follow, Paul's going to unpack for us what this looks like. Because it's not all about me, it's about we. Verses 5 through 8, who's the best example in the world of being godly-minded and getting outside of their self, their own mind, their own selfish desires? Who shows us exactly what it looks like to have the mind of Christ more clearly than Jesus himself? So we read in verse 5, your attitude should be in the very same as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, fully divine, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, held on to tenaciously. What did he do? He emptied himself, not of his deity in coming to earth. He was still divine. He emptied himself of all the privileges of heaven. Jesus said, Father, if you want me to go to this earth, I'm going to come flesh. I will go to that earth. I'll become a baby. And I'll grow up. And I'll be crucified on a cross. That's the short story. Listen again, verse 6. He who being very nature God, Jesus was divine, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, to be held on to tenaciously. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I don't think you and I can appreciate what it meant for Jesus to be born as a human being, to take on flesh. We take all of that for granted, don't we? Because we're flesh. Jesus was fully spirit, and he chose to take on flesh. And in choosing to take on flesh, he chose to take on all the limitations of flesh. Amen? Jesus knew what pain was, and what sorrow was, and what regret was. Jesus knew about loneliness because he knew about flesh. We know those things. Jesus chose to know those things by coming flesh among us. Verse 8, he found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The cross is the clearest picture of Jesus getting outside himself. Jesus didn't want to die. What man does? Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but yet not my will, but your will be done, Jesus said. Jesus didn't want to die on a cross, but he was willed to die on the cross because it was the Father's will. Jesus chose to be obedient to the Father, not because it was easy, not because it was convenient, but because it was right to submit himself to the Father. Brothers and sisters, when we're trying to get along with others in this world, we have to say no to our own wishes and desires and say yes to the wishes of the Father, because Jesus did. The mind of Christ. But you know, the mind of Christ also has rewards. Look at verse 9 and 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Before Jesus was exalted, Jesus was humbled on a cross. Before Jesus knew the glory of being back with the Father in heaven, he knew the pain of nails in his hands and his feet. God says there's a reward for steadfastness. There's a reward for getting out of yourself. There's a reward for living a life where you consider not just your own interest and desires, but the interest of others, as Jesus did. Jesus was rewarded and glorified. Do you want that a boy from the Father? Live the mind of Christ. Tell yourself you don't have to get your way all the time, and submit your will to God's will. God wants us to live our life thinking of the needs of others and thinking of His will and not just our own. But my flesh gets in the way. But let us know that we succeed with the mind of Christ, God exalts us, God praises us, God gives us that a boy, because we have chosen not the way of ease, but the way of sacrifice and service. But you know, if I live that way, people are going to think I'm crazy, Mark. Yes, they will. They'll say, you're out of your mind. And you say, thank you, I'm glad you noticed that. Because you're going to be living differently. You're going to be living in the mind of Christ. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the praise of God than the praise of men. How about that? I'd rather God say, Mark, that's the right thing to do, than everybody else saying, Mark, that's the right thing to do. There are going to be some times, if you live outside of yourself, if you live the mind of Christ, if you're thinking of others and not just yourself, that some people are going to look at you and say, you're out of your mind. And you need to say, thank you. I'm glad you recognize that. I'm glad you recognize the difference. Not in a prideful way, but in a humble way, that your light is shining before God and also before men, that they might see that and bring glory to your Father who's in heaven. There's something awesomely winsome, that's the word I wanted to use, awesomely winsome about living the mind of Christ. A lot of people in the world say, I could never live that way. And they may say, you're living a crazy life to live that way. What they're really saying is, I can't imagine myself doing that. I can't imagine myself living like you're living. Take it as a compliment when they say you're a little bit crazy because you're living differently for Jesus. They may be a little bit envious that you have chosen that path and living that path, but it's not something they see themselves being ready to do yet. But you're planting a seed by example that may sprout in the months and years to come. Think about the winsomeness of living a life outside of yourself, outside of your own desires, and also looking at the desires of others and the needs of others. Some secretly admire it, but they just can't see it for themselves, at least not yet. You have more impact than you realize. So, are you living outside your mind? Governor Festus thought that Paul was crazy, out of his mind. And some think that you and I are a little bit strange upstairs because we're living differently. These Philippians were Christians. But Paul still did to remind them that they needed to think like Jesus, to develop more of the mind and the mindset and the worldview of Christ, to live outside of yourself. And it's counter to my natural instincts because nature teaches us to take care of ourselves, right? Look out for number one. It's not wrong to consider your own needs. That's not what Philippians 2 is telling us, is we should not consider our own needs. What Philippians 2:4 says, we should also consider the needs of others. Living with the mind of Christ means I'm open to doing things that are not my own idea and not my own desire, because I'm answering to a higher call and a greater vision. And that's the mind of Christ that brings us the good life. Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. And the spiritual irony is that we gain by losing, we win by surrender, we find by losing our life. That's God's way. That's God's way. God has a bigger picture than I have. And God knows that life is a team sport, because it's not just all about me, it's all about we. To be spiritually mature is to be healthily connected in relationship to the Lord, but connected healthily to other people. So I hope that you're a little bit out of your mind this morning, because I hope you're into the mind of Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:13, if we are out of our mind, it's for the sake of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16, but we have the mind of Christ. Romans 8 and verse 6, the mind of the flesh is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So I hope you're a little out of your mind this morning and into the mind of Christ. Our faith in Jesus as God's Son leads us to repentance. To change our life is to change our mind, to change our worldview, our picture of what is best. It's to remember it's not about me, it's about the we. And no one has demonstrated that better than Jesus on the cross. Amen? This morning we partook of the supper. We remembered the body of Jesus. We remembered the blood of Jesus. He did not die because he wanted to be on that cross. He died for you and he died for me. And he died in submission to the Father's will because God had a bigger picture in mind than just the pain of the cross. God had a victory picture in mind, a victory over sin, a victory over Satan, a victory over death that was won at the resurrection, as we shared last week. But we have to begin the journey of faith and begin to that decision that says, I want the mind of Christ. I want to live a life outside myself. It's not all about me. It's about others as well. And if you've just been living for yourself, looking out for number one, you're going to find that life's pretty empty and not satisfying. You may even find it boring. But when you begin to invest in others, you begin to serve others, you begin to live not just for your own desires and needs, but also for the desires and needs of others, you're going to find a richness in life, a richness in your heart that cannot be explained. For some who are outside of Christ, if you've not been baptized in the Lord on the basis of your faith and repentance, I really wish you'd do it this morning. I wish you wouldn't leave here apart from the will of God in your life. Living without the Lord's a dead-end street. Living in the Lord's way is where life, the good life, is found. But you've got to have a change of mind. That's called repentance. Realize that that sin that you're living is a dead-end street, and you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be sinless, but you will be forgiven of sin through the blood of Jesus once you own Him as your Lord and Savior in faith, repentance, and baptism into Him. It's time to adopt the mind of Christ in our lives. It's time to think and to act like Jesus. And I acknowledge that repentance is a hard step to make. It's so hard that God requires a physical demonstration of our repentance by our baptism in water. A humbling, defining act that demonstrates that we are making a change and we are calling on God to send His Spirit into our life, because we can't make this change ourselves. You can only make it with God's Spirit. So if you're sitting there saying, you know, I can't be a Christian because I can't be good enough, well, welcome to the club. None of us are good enough. None of us are faithful to Christ because we've got the power in ourselves. The power comes from living by God's Spirit He places within us. Baptism, because of the blood of Christ, forgives our sins, washes them away, and saves us. And it's that essential. It also demonstrates and calls on God to be at work in our lives. And He sends His Spirit to do that work. No wonder Jesus said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water. That is baptism and the Spirit. That is the God's Holy Spirit. John 3 and verse 5. You can't change yourself without Jesus. That's what I'm telling you. You can't. It's time to depend on Him. And the change of heart is so dramatic that Jesus calls it being born again. Starting over again. Starting fresh. And I don't know about you, but there are times you just go, I wish I could replay today. I wish I could make different decisions. I wish I could undo some things. You ever been there? What Jesus does is something better than run back the clock. What Jesus does is say, all of those past sins are forgiven by my blood. Every one of them. And you know what? If you stay in me, if you abide in me, all of your future sins are going to be forgiven too. That's called a win-win. You're not in Christ. You need to be in Jesus. I don't want you to be baptized without repentance. That's useless. I don't want you to be baptized without faith. That's vain. I want you to be baptized into Christ because of your faith and because of your repentance, because there's no other life outside of Jesus and adopting His mind, because whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You can find your life. You can find it in Christ. Come to Him. Let's stand together. Let's sing.